Good morning. I didn't have to remember to turn it on this morning. Guys, please have a seat. So the suggestion was that I make you all sit in the center. The suggestion was I make you all sit in the center, but free will, right? We believe in free will in the United Church of Canada, so. We will do. Good morning, everyone. I'm glad you came out this morning, in spite of the weather we had this last evening. I imagine some of our folks are still digging out, depending on how much snow you got, wherever you are and wherever you were. But it's good to be together this morning as we worship. So, as we gather this morning. Looking around, I pretty much recognize everybody, so I'm going to just skip the whole welcome to visitors thing this morning. Pardon? So as we gather this morning, however, let us begin our worship with the acknowledgement of place and together in response. We gather in this place with gratitude, acknowledging that we live and worship on lands that are by law the unceded territory of the Mi'kmaq. May we live with respect on this land and in peace and friendship with its people. And as we gather this morning, we light our candles. First, the candle of Christ's light in the world, Christ's light in our lives, Christ's light in our hearts. We light a candle of prayer for peace, that there might be peace in all places in our world, and that as followers of Jesus, who called us to be peacemakers, let us work for that cause. And this morning we light a candle for those who serve in our armed forces in many places around our world, who serve in places where we cannot or are not able to go, who stand there for the way of peace. May their ministry be recognized by us as a nation. May we honor and recognize those who, here in our own communities, peace officers and firefighters and EMTs, those who staff our emergency rooms and hospitals 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, those who are there for us in nursing homes and long-term care facilities. Their ministry looks after us when we are in our moments of most need. And we honor all those who serve in our community this day. As we gather, I invite us to sing, "Oh Come and Let Us Sing," number 9 in Voices United. And I don't have anyone signed up for call to worship this morning. Would someone like to come up and do call to worship this morning? Yeah? Come on up then. Right after the song, you'll say. So we're going to sing, "Oh Come and Let Us Sing."
God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to God.
Let us give thanks for the goodness of God.
We give our thanks and praise to God.
Great job. Let us pray together as is found in the order of service. On mountaintops and valley floors, the light of your love shines in all places. In our hearts, we want to bathe ourselves in the divine presence, and with each encounter, we are transformed. We draw nearer so that we might discern the portion of your Holy Spirit that will inspire our lives and our church deeper into the realm of God. We will live our lives as reflection of love's light and walk beside all our brothers and sisters as blessing. Everyone will be included, regardless of gender identity, color, belief or creed, ability, and socioeconomic background. We will act as love that casts out bigotry, phobia, and anger. Our world is hurting, and as followers of Jesus, we need to discern how and where your Spirit is leading. We will hear your voice speaking to us and saying, "Listen to my child, the beloved, and follow anew. May it be so." Amen. And our opening hymn this morning is New Every Morning. It's actually number 405. It's correct on the screen, 405 in Voices United. David is sharing with us our scriptures this morning. There you are.
The first reading this morning is from Matthew 16. 24 through 17, 8. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit your soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then will reward each person according to what they have done. Truly I tell you, Some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man come into his kingdom. After six days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses, Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus.
Thank you, Dave. Well, would the children who are here this morning like to come up to the front for a few moments? I'm just going to pull our mat over here. How are we this morning? Who's coming over? There we go. Good morning. Good morning. How are we this morning? Were you surprised when you woke up this morning to see all the snow covering so much of everything? Yeah. Did you get a chance to get out and play in it a little bit? Not yet. Plan on doing some sledding this afternoon, though? Yeah. Have you got a nice hill to sled on? You did do some sledding this morning? Do you have a nice hill where you like to slide? Yeah? Do you? Close to your house? Beside your house. Well, when we get snow like this, you look outside, it's almost magical, isn't it? I mean, everything all of a sudden just gets covered in this really white, white snow, and it's bright, and the sun reflects off of it. And the next thing you know, things that look regular to us every single day, they look a little bit different. They go from being ordinary to being extraordinary, amazing things. When I was a kid, the place where I lived, we didn't have much of a hill to go tobogganing in the wintertime. So we always waited to go tobogganing until the plows came to the parking lot of the strip mall, not far from where we lived. And the plows would push all of the snow from one end of the parking lot to the other and make these gigantic mountains. They were like 500 feet tall. Maybe not, but it sure seemed that way when I was 10 years old. And we would climb up to the top of those, and we would be mountaineers, and we'd be climbing the highest mountains in the world. Do you like to pretend when you go playing in the snow? Yeah? What do you like to pretend when you're playing in the snow? No? You dig snow forts or make snow people? Do you do that sort of thing? All of a sudden, because of this snow and this big pile of snow that, you know, now that most of us are grown-ups, we grumble about having to shovel and push out of the way. But it was magical. When I was a kid, we saw these great big piles of snow, and they were different things every single time. They were ski hills for swooshing down or tobogganing or sledding or that sort of thing. But sometimes when it snows, the world changes all around us. It looks so different, doesn't it, than what it normally does, right? And what about in the next few weeks when spring comes and all of this snow goes away? What happens next after spring comes? How do we know when spring is coming? Mud. Mud. Yep, there's lots of mud. What happens outside when spring is coming? Because it's just a couple weeks away. Trees start to grow, yeah. We see little green buds on the trees, right? And what happens to those little green buds as the days and the weeks go by? What do they become? Flowers on some of the trees, yeah. What other things come out of those little green buds on the branches? the leaves come out, yeah, and they become green and bright and beautiful. And the snow melts away, and eventually when the mud dries up, what comes poking up through the mud in the ground? Flowers, yeah, what else? Grass, right? And we start to see new birds coming back that we haven't seen all winter long. A cardinal today. Wow, that's amazing. Oh, yeah. That's when the nights start to get lighter. We're going to hit daylight saving time. Is that next week? Next week, yeah. So don't forget to spring ahead. Yeah. Pigeons, yeah, they're with us all year round, aren't they? Yeah, that's kind of cool. So there's all kind. So it's almost like the world is transforming all of the time, all around us. And one of the stories that we're telling this morning from the Bible is this story when Peter and James and John, they go up a mountain with Jesus, and they go way up high in the mountain, and they have this amazing experience. So much so that Jesus looks very different than what he normally does. The Bible says he was glowing. Wow. Have you ever glowed? I don't think I have either. But it was an amazing experience. And Peter and James and John were so amazed. And they just had this amazing experience. And when they went back down the mountain, Jesus said to them, look, right now from this point on, that was an amazing moment. Things are going to change. Things are going to look different. And you are going to need to be my disciples and share God's love and God's message from like this time on, because things are changing and we need to all be ready. So as we see the snow melt and the leaves start to bud, things are changing. And it reminds us that we need to always be ready to share God's love wherever we go, right? So what would be one way, as time moves on in the next little bit, how we would share God's love with the world? How do you think you would do that? How would you like to share God's love in the world? How about in just your family? Way would you do that? Would you give everyone in your family a hug? Yeah? Yeah? You help your mom clean the house, yeah. Help do the dishes, yeah. That's a good way. And what about with like friends? Wait, you get to do the dishes? Oh, you can't. Well, you can help though. Everybody can help. Oh, that's right. You're moving. All right. Well, what ways can we do with our friends? Can we show God's love? We could play with them. Yeah. We can smile. Be friendly. Right? Give them a hug. That's a good way of showing God's love. Yeah. So as we think about all the changes that are going to be happening as spring comes along, all of these things remind us that we need to be always thinking about the ways that God's love changes the world around us and that we're asked to be a part of it. Yeah, that's right. Be nice to everybody. Yeah, that's one great way of showing. Yeah, there's no reason why we can't be nice and smile at people, right? Yeah, that's right. Very good. Well, let's have a little prayer, and then we're going to sing a song. We'll put our hands together, and you can repeat after me. Thank you, God, for the way the world changes. Thank you for the spring that's coming. For the changes in the world. And in our lives. Help us to always share your love. Wherever we go. Amen. Very good. Now we're going to sing Over My Head. And I had told Charles I was going to write some different words to this. But this week just got away from me. And so we're just going to sing the words that are in More Voices number 88. All right? So let's stand up. Do you remember this one, Over My Head? Kinda. We're getting used to it. We're singing it a little more often. There we go. Over my head, I hear music in the air. There must be a God somewhere. And when we sing Over My Head, we're going to put our hands up like this. There is Sunday school programming for you this morning. Spring at American Methodist Episcopal Church in downtown Washington. And I think we sang it for about 20 minutes. A lot of us were exhausted, a lot of us, hands in the air all the time. Reagan Choir, beautiful. Let us pause for a moment of prayer. God of mountaintops and valleys, as we gather here this day, may the mountaintop experiences of Jesus and his followers inspire us to ways of wisdom and revelation. In Christ we pray. Amen. So this is Transfiguration Sunday. It is the Sunday that marks the last Sunday of Epiphany. So thank you to those who preemptively took down the Christmas wreaths. Good on you, because, you know, Epiphany will be over today, and we're into Lent, so we don't need that up. Other accoutrements come down, the other banners and such, and it's a subtle shift in change. It's not the big change that we saw at the end of the church year, the season of ordinary time, or the season of Pentecost that saw Advent come in, and the next thing you know, it's Christmas, and we move through it. There's this slow sort of movement into something a little more introspective beginning this week. It's the beginning of the season of Lent, a time that we are meant to reflect on who we are as people of faith and what our relationship with God and the world looks like. So with this final Sunday of Epiphany, I just want to talk a little bit this morning to begin with about what an Epiphany might look like. So an epiphany, when we talk about it in the biblical term, is that revelation of God's being expressed in the child Jesus, particularly at the time of the visitation of the Magi, the kings from the east, in Matthew's gospel. And then throughout the course of the last number of weeks since that first week in January, we have been reading from Matthew's gospel, and we have seen Jesus repeatedly reveal God through the way that he acts, through the way that he interacts, through his teachings, and through and the way he lives his vision of God's kingdom as it is unfolding. We have been learning along with Jesus' followers just what Jesus' vision has been and how we can catch that vision so that we too can follow into God's kingdom as it unfolds on earth and is in heaven. In a more modern sense, an epiphany is an illuminating discovery, a realization, a disclosure, an insight, or simply a moment of great revelation that changes you in some way. End quote. So today is the ending of the season of a revelation that comes with Epiphany. And we have in the reading from today in the Transfiguration an Epiphany moment for Peter, James, and John. It's an odd little story in Matthew's gospel. It's a little disjointed. We're not really sure what's going on. I can't help but think that the writer of Matthew's gospel wrote it that way so that he might evoke the feelings and the sense of the disciples that they were standing there on this mountaintop. Just before this time, Jesus pronounces how difficult and costly it is to be his follower. That if we are truly to be followers of Jesus, we have to deny who we have created ourselves to be, and we must be willing to carry the instrument of even our own death. And if we do nothing in life but to work to save our lives, we will lose it. But if we are willing to let go of what we think is important for the sake of the kingdom, then Jesus says, we have it all. And then, a little less than a week later, Jesus invites Peter, James, and John up this mountain, and they have this, to put it in a 1960s parlance, a trippy little experience. Jesus gets all glowy and shiny and bright, and the three disciples are really confused. Just when they think it can't get any weirder, there's Jesus standing there just a-glowing. Along come a couple of long-dead guys, Moses and Elijah. This is the story, really. And Peter says something really stupid. He says, hey, it's really cool. How about I build you three tabernacles while we're up here? Tabernacles are kind of a portable dwelling, like a tent. That would be a good thing to do, wouldn't it be, Jesus? Do you think I should do that? I think I'm going to do that. Can you see Jesus just putting his hand on his head and going, oh, Peter, no, just wait. Just be in the moment. And then the icing on the cake, they hear the voice of God, and God says, this is my son, beloved, and with him I am well pleased. And then poof, it's all done. End and they go back down the mountain. And Peter, James, and John are left scratching their heads about what they saw. And it isn't part of the lectionary reading for today, but as they're going down the mountain, Jesus says to them, look, guys, you probably don't want to say anything about this to anybody as we get back into things, because you guys, even yourselves, don't really understand what happened. So I don't think you're going to be able to really explain it to anybody. But trust me. Keep it to yourselves. I can see the storm clouds gathering, and I have a good idea what's going to happen next. And well, after, just after, think about what you saw, and you'll understand. Or something like that. So Peter, James, and John are left to wonder and to discern, what is it we are going to do next? Marcy Auld Glass, who is the pastor at Southminster Presbyterian in Boise, Idaho, writes, we want signs. We want things to be clear. And when God speaks from the cloud and when the prophets of the past appear, we still don't know how to read the signs. It's as if the kingdom of heaven were already all around us and we're waiting for shiny clothes and voices from clouds. In other words, we need to look around us and see what work is needing to be done. If God's kingdom is to be revealed here and now in this place through Cole Harbor Woodside United Church, we need to be discerning as Peter, James, and John are discerning what will come next. So too are we all called to discern how we will individually move in our faith, how we will move in the life of our church, how we will move in the life of our denomination and beyond. I had a bit of an epiphany myself this week, and I want to share it with you. In the conversations that we've been having in the last month and a bit about the budget, about what ministry and looks like here at Cole Harbor Woodside United, what staffing might look like, what it means to be an affirming ministry. All of these moments are transfiguration moments for us as a congregation. All of these moments are moments of discernment. They're moments of trying to parse out how we understand the Spirit of God to be moving in this place. And we need to be actively about the work of discerning. Discerning is about prayer. It's about listening. It's about asking and talking. It's about questioning. And it's about trusting in God's presence in our community and in our lives. We, like the disciples and doubters alike, want a sign from God that comes down from heaven and says, do this, then do this, then do this, everything will be cool. But we know that rarely happens. What do we get as people of faith? We get little nudges from the Spirit. We get strange visions, trippy little experiences. But those are the tools we have to work with. We need to be discerning. We need to be discerning as we're on the mountaintop with Jesus and Elijah and Moses. And we need to be discerning as we come down the mountain, even if we don't fully understand the things that we have seen and done. Because those things will continue to unfold. What ministry will look like in the future here at Coal Harbor Woodside, that will unfold. How we will live our lives into being an affirming congregation, how that will unfold. What will it look like as our denomination restructures and we become more understanding of who we are as a national denomination? That will unfold. And in the midst of it all, we need to keep God's call to be about revealing the kingdom that is around us, because that's our call as the church. To be the ones helping to reveal that kingdom that is here and yet not yet here. Sometimes that means letting go of fear and taking a leap of faith. Sometimes it means recognizing that we have been holding on to something too tightly and we need to let it go because it has turned our attention away from being the church and its call. And sometimes it means putting up a temporary shelter and waiting for a little while for the clouds to disperse so we can hear the voice of God. So that when we come down the mountain, we will be ready. Because eventually we do have to come down the mountain. We do have to, as Jesus says, pick up our cross. And we have to follow. And as we will see in the weeks to come, that when we follow, the path will lead down the mountain. It will lead to Gethsemane. It will lead to Golgotha. It will lead to the tomb. But God doesn't stop there. God doesn't stop at the tomb. Because then there is resurrection. Then there is new life. And that is just the way of our God. May we always follow. Amen. Thank you, Greg. Are there announcements that need to be shared?
Good morning. We're here again for the maple syrup sales. We're doing great. I think we got almost a page full of orders, but we're still going to continue to take orders for the, I think, up until the end of March. I think that's how far we'll go. March, end of March? About there, yeah. And after last week, we told Naomi told a joke. Willie from the choir had a joke he told us. And Naomi's,
it took us all week to figure out the joke, so hopefully you can...
It's not maple syrup related.
Okay, so a termite walked into a bar, and he said, "Where's the bartender?" We'll see you in the hall.
Is the bartender here?
Oh, okay, that works too, yeah. That works better. Is the bartender here? We'll see you after church.
I figured I'd give them the first chance to get you guys laughing. If you were here last week, you heard Michael's sermon about feeding the multitude, a sermon on the mount, a church and a pub. I reflected on that, and we actually came up with something somewhat similar. The loaves and the fishes. It was funny at the time. Last week, Catherine's said, I challenged her to bake bean challenge. That is absolutely wrong. I just told her mine were better. The only way you're going to find out is showing up Tuesday for Shrove Tuesday pancake supper. So you guys can make the decision then. Next, tax receipts are out in the narthex if you'd like to pick them up. And last but not least, focus on the mission, future mission commitment form. This is the last Sunday. We're hoping to get those completed. If you plan to increase your givings, if you could fill out the form and put it in the box in the narthex after service, finance will be able to make a decision as to our recommendation for the budget. Thanks.
I wasn't going to bother getting up here today because I recognize most of you folks. But my name's Kathy Warren, and I'm now chair of Fellowship. And the Fellowship Committee have decided they're going to host a newcomer's breakfast on the last Sunday of this month, March 31st, at 9:30 before the regular service. So if you're new to our church community in the last three, four, however many years, and if you know people that have just or joined recently, next Sunday in church, invite them all to sign up. In the narthex, there's a sign-up sheet. We just thought it would be kind of nice for new folks to meet other new folks, because as you can see, we're all creatures of habit, and we sit in the same pew every Sunday. So unless you actually venture over to another pew, you'll never get to meet the folks in the far side. So we just thought this would be a great way for everybody to get together to meet the new folks. So that's the last Sunday in March at 9:30. Thank you.
I just snuck in, because on my street, all my neighbors are out shoveling everybody's driveway and stuff, so it was kind of like a service there this morning, so yes, somebody helps shovel mine too, so that was nice. Pancake supper on Tuesday night. On the poster it says at 5 o'clock, but that's really a loose, you know, come whenever you like between 5 and 7. Although, don't come at 6:45, because we'll be just finishing the dishes. So, anyhow, it's whenever you can come. $10 a person or $25 for a family. The family can be as big as you want. If you know anybody that's going to be a challenge for, bring them along, and we're going to feed as many people as we can. And I'm making vegetarian beans, And they're actually on the slow cooker right now, and they are fine, fine beans. So, also... No, I did hear that, Gordon. I did hear that. And, yeah. My guess is that we're going to have two bowls of beans on the plates so that there can be, you know, a taste-off. But, you know, there you go. Also, if anybody would like to help in the kitchen with serving, I've got some youth that are going to be delivering the meals, and I've got some gentlemen that are going to be cooking pancakes, but I could definitely use help with general kerfuffle. So that would be great. Thank you.
If you're a kerfuffler, see Catherine. Shrove Tuesday, then the next night, Wednesday, is Ash Wednesday. We will be having an Ash Wednesday service. It will be at 7 o'clock in the chapel, so please come if you are able to come. Those are our announcements, our moment for mission and service.
Supervisory education is an intentional learning experience that enables people preparing for ministry to deepen their pastoral identity, reflect theologically, and enhance their... Learning about social justice in a congregational context. Ministry is about relationships. For me, it's about collaborating with others and harnessing the creativity that God has gifted us, while letting it go and flow throughout the church. While at Bloor Street, I had the opportunity to share in the healing work of storytelling that is often involved in social justice work. I experienced what an affirming church looks like, and what an affirming church does in its day-to-day functions and in worship. I learned about protocol as we welcomed and began the work of supporting a Syrian refugee family. I learned about conflict transformation as we grappled with ways of responding to the Truth and Reconciliation Commission's recommendations. I also shared my love for contemplative prayer and a variety of spiritual practices. We danced, journaled, meditated, and the children and I started learning about godly play together. Your gifts to mission and service help support candidates as they prepare for ministry and are equipped for leadership in our church. If mission and service giving is already a regular part of your life, thank you so much. If you have not given, please join me in making mission and service giving a regular part of your life of faith. Loving our neighbor is at the heart of our mission and service.
Thank you, Cindy. In that spirit, then, we continue our worship as we present our gifts and our offerings. Ooh, snap. Oh, that one goes over that side. You only get one. One per section. That's all you get. bring an offering. That's amazing. Joyful giving. That's what it's about, joyful giving. Let us pray. We thank you, O God, for the ability to come together. We thank you, God, for the mission that you have placed before us, for our calls to be your church in the world. May the gifts that are offered this day, through the offering plates, through par, and through the work of our hands and the love that is in our hearts, may all of those things combine to spread and share your love in our world. In Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please have a seat. So, as we move into a time of prayer this morning, I ask us to hold Don and Barb McAlpine in prayer this morning. Don had a stroke on Friday. He's doing very, very well. Been in touch with Susan and Jill, and he's doing well. He's in the infirmary. They got those wonderful clot-busting drugs into him really, really quickly, but he'll be in for a few days. I have been given permission to share that with the congregation, and so we'll hold Don and Barb and all of the family in our prayers this morning. Let us pray. O Holy One, in whom we live and move and have our being, we are grateful for the ways in which your Spirit is revealed in our lives and in our world. For those moments of transfiguration, the ways in which the world seems to suddenly glow and change, the ways in which we can see faith of the past and the present with the hopes that we will walk more deeply into your future. For the ways in which you have called us to be about the kingdom work, that kingdom that unfolds as and continues to unfold as time moves forward. We hope for and pray for and work for that day that was seen by prophets and visionaries of old, where we as a human family would care for and tend to the earth and its needs, that we would love one another with the love that you have for each and every one of us, that we would come together in ways that would promote peace, that would promote justice, that would promote harmony and love. This day, as we think about the transfiguration of Jesus on that day on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, we think about the ways in which their lives were changed. The courage to face the fears that would come before them. The sense of your Spirit guiding them and upholding them. That same moment is available to us, O God. As we face uncertainty in our world, as we face uncertainty in our country, in our province, in our community, in our church, and in our lives, may we live into that uncertainty. May we live into that with grace and with hope. May we walk with the Spirit in the ways that we have been called to do, so that those who see us and come to us, we'll know that we trust in you and that we truly love as you love. This day we think of and we remember those in prayer, particularly this morning. We remember Dawn. We give you thanks for the wonders of modern medicine and the ways in which that medical knowledge and understanding has been put to him for the best of his recovery, and we pray in the days that are to come he would be restored to home and family. We remember those who are on our prayer list each week, We offer prayers for Carolyn and Heather, Irene, Hannah, Nancy, Carmen, Faith, and Dorothy, Joy and Gary, Della, Graham, Eric, Richard, Sean, and Simon, Beth, Gary, Wayne, Suzanne, Reg, Neil, Millie, Matilda. Those whose names we have spoken aloud, those whose names are spoken in the depths of love and heart, those whose names are known to you. May our prayers bring them strength, comfort, and support. Be with us, God, as we seek to be your people in this place. All of our prayers we gather up this day and offer in the name of the one who taught us that we might pray together and say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen. And we sing together at the end of our service, I have called you by your name, you are mine. As we come down the mountaintop from this place and this time, we are called to go back to the world that has let us go for this last hour, and to take with us as we go that message of hope, that message of love, that message that God is with us, we are not alone. As we go, let us share that with those we encounter in Christ.